Let's do the 60-second savings challenge. Step one, download Rocket Money. Step two, link your accounts and see every subscription you're paying for. Tap one you don't use and cancel it. That's money back every month. Step three, create a financial goal. $50 every paycheck, or let the app automatically move small amounts of cash when you can afford it. In a week, you'll forget you set it up. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you've saved. Bonus challenge, upload an internet or phone bill and let Rocket Money try to lower it. You only pay if they find you savings. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. Make saving money the resolution you actually keep. Start the 60-second savings challenge at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Welcome to the Divergent Files podcast. In this episode of Divergent Files, we're pulling apart a question science has tried to dodge for over 100 years. Is your mind just a bunch of brain signals? Or is it part of something bigger, something quantum? You'll see the real experiments that broke reality's rulebook, government programs that quietly funded mind over matter tech, the scientists who risked their careers to say consciousness isn't in your head, and how all of this connects to UFOs, death, dreams, and maybe even time itself. But this isn't just about science, it's about you. What's going on inside your head might not be yours alone. Because if the universe is watching you back, we're not in a machine, we're in a mirror. A little girl sits in a white room, no windows, no clocks. Just four walls, a chair, and a blinking machine. There's a red light and a blue one. She's told, try to make the red one blink more than the blue. She shrugs, laughs. She's maybe 6 years old. She stares at the lights for a while, then loses interest, starts counting the dots on the wall, humming to herself. But when the scientists reviewed the data later, something strange showed up. Every time she was focused, the red light didn't just blink, it spiked. Her attention changed the odds. Now, maybe that's a glitch. Or maybe her thoughts were doing something we can't explain yet. Not with neurons, not with psychology, but with physics. What if the mind isn't stuck in the body? What if it's plugged into something bigger? Something that leaks into machines, events, even other people? And what if governments, labs, and secret programs have been trying to map that field for decades? We're going to go deeper than brain scans and meditation in this episode. We're going into the weird zone where quantum physics collides with ancient knowledge and where you might be the experiment. Quantum physics broke reality. It told us particles don't even exist until we look at them. It told us that information, real data, can travel faster than light, not through wires, not through space, but through some weird kind of nowhere. Then things got stranger. Biologists started finding weird patterns in the brain. Mystics started sounding less crazy. The military started getting curious. And a few brave physicists asked the question out loud. What if consciousness isn't something your brain makes? What if it's something your brain tunes into? Because if that's true, then you're not just a body with a mind. You're a receiver, maybe even a projector. And the signal? It might be everywhere. Here's the part nobody likes talking about. If consciousness isn't local, if it doesn't stay locked in your head, then death might not be a shutdown. It might be a shift. and what we call reality, it might be more like a networked dream we're all logged into. A world made real only because we believe in it together. And the strangest part? Someone may have already figured that out, mapped it, studied it, and found a way to use it. Not just to understand the mind, but to bend the world it's observing. Let's go there. There was a time when bringing up consciousness in a lab could end your career. It was too philosophical, too spiritual, way too weird, and not the kind of thing that gets you funding. But then the physicists broke their own rules. In the 1920s, the godfathers of quantum mechanics, Planck, Schrödinger, Bohr, Heisenberg, started talking about consciousness like it was part of the equation. Schrödinger said consciousness is a singular of which the plural is unknown. Eugene Wigner, another quantum pioneer, took it further. He said it was impossible to even do quantum physics without including the mind of the observer. John von Neumann took it to the math. His equations suggested that the moment a conscious mind observes a quantum system, the wave of probabilities collapses into a single outcome. In other words, you don't just see reality, you might be creating it just by paying attention. This gave birth to one of the weirdest problems in science, the measurement problem. Do things exist before we look at them, or do we force them into existence with our own minds? By the 1960s, a few outsiders decided to stop whispering and just dive in. People like Itzhak, Bentov, and Ram Dass started exploring consciousness using early EEG machines. They mapped brainwaves during meditation. They used metaphors from quantum physics to describe out-of-body experiences. Mainstream scientists rolled their eyes. But behind the scenes, intelligence agencies weren't laughing. They started watching, funding, and archiving. Because maybe this wasn't just some hippie nonsense. Maybe there was a layer of reality under the microscope and under the radar. They weren't trying to prove anything. They were trying to break something open. And they weren't mapping the brain. They were trying to map the soul. A brain surgeon once said it felt like operating on a television set. Wires, circuits, pathways. But here's what's strange. No one's ever found the channel. You can slice a brain a thousand different ways, but you'll never find a thought, no memory, no image, just meat and sparks. And that's where the weird science comes in. In the 1990s, anesthesiologist Stuart Hameroff teamed up with physicist Roger Penrose. They came up with a theory called ORC-OR, short for Orchestrated Objective Reduction, which is just a fancy way of saying consciousness might happen at the quantum level. They believed something deep inside our brain cells, tiny structures called microtubules, might be holding quantum states. That means particles that are spinning in two directions at once, existing and non-existing, until something collapses the wave. Penrose believed the mind was the collapse. Consciousness wasn't just observing reality, it was choosing it, deciding which version of the world shows up next. And this wasn't just spiritual talk dressed up in science. They tied it to Gödel's incompleteness theorem. Basically, the idea that no system can explain itself, which means consciousness might go beyond any machine, any brain, or any computer we can build. Mainstream scientists hated this theory. It was too speculative, too slippery. But then some receipts started showing up. In 2022, researchers found something unexpected: quantum coherence in microtubules. Not for a nanosecond, but for long-range periods. And that's a direct hit on one of Hameroff and Penrose's predictions. Meanwhile, in anesthesiology labs, scientists noticed something else. When patients lose consciousness, it's not just brain waves that change. The microtubules stop vibrating in specific ways. And then there's biophotons. These are tiny bursts of light coming from brain tissue. Too weak to see, but they're real. Some researchers think they might be tied to how the brain sends quantum-level information. And the strangest effect of all? It's called the quantum Zeno effect. If you keep observing a quantum system over and over, it stops changing. It's like your attention freezes reality in place. And no one's sure why. Some physicists have quietly wondered, maybe the mind is using quantum entanglement to focus probability itself. Like picking a version of the world from a stack of possibilities, one at a time. The Buddhists would call that concentration. Some mystics call it siddhi, mental powers that arise from deep states of focus. But the question here isn't whether it's mystical. The question is whether it's physical. Because maybe the brain doesn't create consciousness. Maybe it's just the antenna, and whatever it's picking up might be coming from outside the body entirely. Which leads to a darker question. If we can tune into the field, can something else tune into us? You know what's funny? The same people who say consciousness can't affect reality are the same ones who quietly spent decades testing whether it could. At Princeton University, starting in the late 1970s, there was a lab buried inside the engineering department. It was called PEARL, short for Princeton Engineering Anomalies Research. And for over 30 years, they ran the same experiment over and over again. Here's how it worked. They used a machine called an RNG, a random number generator, basically a high-speed coin flipper. It spits out ones and zeros. Now, here's the weird part. They asked ordinary people, volunteers, to sit in front of it and try to make it lean one way. Focus on more ones or more zeros, just with their mind. No touching, no tricks, just their attention. Across millions of trials, they saw small but consistent shifts. The odds didn't break wide open, but they nudged, just enough to raise eyebrows. Most scientists ignored it, but someone else didn't. In 1983, a CIA document dropped called the Gateway Process. It laid out a full program for manipulating brainwaves using sound, specifically with a technique called hemispheric synchronization. Two different tones are played in each ear. The brain tries to make sense of the difference and drops into altered states. The goal? Access parts of consciousness that normal waking life blocks out. Remote viewing, out-of-body experiences, even astral projection. In the strangest part, they tried to explain it using quantum field theory. Basically, the same math used in high-energy physics was now being used to model the mind. Then there's the Stargate Project. And it's no, not the movie. This was a real intelligence program run by the CIA and the Defense Intelligence Agency. They used people, called remote viewers, to spy on distant locations using only their minds. It wasn't a side hobby. It ran for over 20 years and millions of dollars. At the same time, over in Russia, they were testing something even stranger. It was called torsion field theory. In basic terms, it suggested that spinning objects, like subatomic particles, could send signals through empty space. Some researchers believed that human thoughts, especially strong emotions, could distort these fields. Changing things at a distance, without energy, just information. Back home, the U.S. Army wrote a document in 1972. It was called Controlled Offensive Behavior. And that's not a sci-fi title. That's the actual name. It talked about using drugs, frequency, and altered states of awareness to influence human behavior. And why would the military need that? Well, maybe because if consciousness is the source code, you don't need to hack the body. You just need to hack the mind. And then there are the receipts nobody talks about. In the late 1990s, several obscure patents were filed by people tied to Lockheed and DARPA, the Pentagon's advanced research wing. The patents described systems that responded to conscious intent and neural signature shifts. They were buried under technical language, but the goal was clear. Machines that read and respond to the mind. And if you FOIA the right memos, you'll find references going back to 1953, where U.S. intelligence agencies flagged consciousness research as something to monitor, document, and in some cases fund. They didn't laugh at this stuff. They filed it under national security. Because if the mind really can affect matter, that's not just science anymore. That's a weapon. So the next question becomes, who's been aiming it? There is a point where science starts sounding less like physics and more like scripture. And this is that point. In the 1980s, physicist David Bohm proposed something called the implicate order. To put it simply, he believed that everything in the universe is folded into everything else, and not metaphorically, literally. Your hand, a star, a memory, a thought, they're all connected beneath the surface. You just can't see it because our senses are tuned to the surface level reality. Bohm believed consciousness wasn't a side effect of matter. It was the underlying field holding the whole thing together. Then came Carl Pribram, a neuroscientist. He didn't work with string theory. He worked with brains, but he came to a very similar conclusion. He noticed something odd. When certain parts of the brain were removed in rats, their memories didn't just disappear, they faded, like a hologram losing resolution. That led him to propose that the brain doesn't store information in chunks. It stores it holographically. Every part contains the whole. Now, pause for a second. If Bohm was right, and the universe is holographic, and if Pribram was right, and the brain processes holographically, then your mind might be pulling data from a shared field of reality, not just processing your five senses. Dean Radin, a parapsychologist at the Institute of Noetic Sciences, ran an updated version of the famous double slit experiment. And this is where particles behave like waves until they are observed. But in Radin's version, there was no equipment observing them, just people. He found small but measurable shifts in the pattern, only when subjects were focused on it, which raises a wild question. Can your attention collapse a quantum field? Then there's Tom Campbell, former NASA physicist turned consciousness explorer. He built a model called the Big Toe for a theory of everything. His version of reality is basically a simulation, but not the kind built by aliens. This one is built by consciousness itself. According to Campbell, we're players in a rule-based environment where free will and feedback evolve awareness. It sounds out there until you start looking at the work of Robert Monroe. Monroe was a radial executive who accidentally triggered out-of-body experiences using sound frequencies. He documented entire layers of consciousness, levels, tunnels, beings, over decades. And get this, his descriptions line up eerily well with near-death experiences, ancient mystic traditions, and even some alien abduction cases. Meanwhile, the Vedic Upanishads, some of the oldest spiritual texts on Earth, talk about a field of awareness that exists beyond the body and even the mind. In Kabbalah, it's called Ein Sof. In Gnostic texts, the Pleroma, a totality behind the illusion. And then you've got the astronauts. When Apollo crews returned from space, some of them reported something they couldn't explain. They called it the overview effect, a wave of deep, overwhelming unity, like their minds had expanded past Earth and touched something bigger. And maybe that's what happens when you step outside the bubble. Your consciousness retunes to the whole. And if that's the case, if your mind is part of a shared field that exists beyond time and beyond space, then death might not be the end. It might be the upload. And the life you're living right now might just be the download.
The number one resolution for people last year was to save more money, but nearly half gave up by February. Don't let that be you. Download Rocket Money to reach your financial goals this year. Track your spending, cut waste, and automate savings in one simple app. Rocket Money shows you all your expenses and categorizes them so you know exactly where your money's going and where you're overspending. From there, the app cuts waste by canceling your unused subscriptions and lowering your bills. No customer service needed. With that money freed up, the app will automatically set some cash aside for your goals, whether it's an emergency fund, paying off debt, or saving for vacation. Rocket Money's got you covered. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. And on average, users can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Make saving money a priority this year. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
So this is where most people check out, but not us. Because if consciousness really is a field, if thought can bend probability, tweak reality, or even collapse matter at the quantum level, then someone somewhere had to ask the obvious question, can we weaponize it? In 2013, the Pentagon launched something called the Brain Initiative. It was marketed as a neuroscience project, a way to map the brain and understand disease, maybe help with memory loss. But if you look at the research funding, DARPA was all over it. DARPA is the Defense Advanced Research Projects Agency, basically the military's mad science lab. Their version of the Brain Initiative wasn't about curing anything. It was about building interfaces, direct brain-to-machine communication, and long-term, possibly even remote control. Meanwhile, buried in Cold War history, there was a program called Project Jedi, and yes, that was the real name. It was a Pentagon experiment in making super soldiers, enhanced by altered states of consciousness. Some of the research paths crossed directly into the old MKUltra files. Mind control, sensory deprivation, and the weaponization of focused attention. And then there's the gateway process again. That CIA document doesn't just talk about astral travel and sound waves. It mentions something called patterning reality, basically using trained consciousness to shape the physical world. No device, just mind. We also have scattered whistleblower claims, most of them ignored, some of them hard to debunk. A few ex-contractors from Bell Labs and Lockheed Skunk Works have said the same eerie thing, that some of the most classified tech out there doesn't respond to buttons or code. It responds to consciousness, emotional state, thought signature, intention. And believe it or not, the paperwork supports that idea. Several strange patents, mostly from the late 90s and early 2000s, describe devices that adjust based on neural feedback. And not just biofeedback, they react to emotion, calmness, panic, focus, even fear. And then there's the wild card, China. In recent years, a handful of Chinese military white papers have talked openly about something they call quantum psychology warfare. It's not just about bombs and drones. It's about manipulating collective intention, shaping emotion on a national scale, turning thought itself into a battlefield. Because if reality responds to thought, then influence becomes invasion. And the scariest part? You never even see that attack coming, because it would already be happening inside your mind. Here's the part nobody talks about. What if all this quantum consciousness, shared fields, mind over matter isn't just theory? What if it's the operating system behind reality itself? Some physicists have asked a wild question. Is reality rendered when we observe it? Like a video game engine that only draws what the player is looking at? And that sounds nuts until you remember what quantum physics already told us. Particles don't take a position until they're measured. So what if the world built itself only when we pay attention? Now, take that idea a little further. What if near-death experiences aren't visions or hallucinations, but phase shifts, temporary steps outside the simulation? What if reincarnation isn't just a spiritual hope, but quantum memory? Entangled information patterns that survive the death of the body and bind to something new. There's a famous case, James Langdinger, which I covered on this channel. A kid who remembered being a World War II pilot. He named the ship, the crew, and the crash. His parents were skeptics until the records lined up perfectly. And he's not alone. Dr. Ian Stevenson, a psychiatrist at the University of Virginia, documented over 2,500 similar cases. Children with memories they shouldn't have, right down to scars, birthmarks, and phobias. Then there's time. Some people who have had out-of-body experiences or intense meditative states report weird time dilation. They feel like they've been gone for hours, but only a minute passed. That tracks with what the Monroe Institute documented over decades. In their altered state training programs, people consistently reported leaving their bodies, accessing other layers of reality, some that felt outside of time entirely. The CIA didn't dismiss these reports. They copied them, they analyzed them, and then they kept quiet. Some of this even loops back into simulation theory. If the mind is the processor and the body is just the interface, then maybe this whole thing is code, a learning program, a test, or a trap. There's an old Gnostic idea called the Saturn Moon Matrix. Some believe we're trapped in a false frequency, like a spiritual holding pattern. David Icke popularized it, but the roots go way deeper. The claim? That Earth is inside a projected field that suppresses full consciousness. That we're stuck in the same dream, running in circles. And yet, one of the most respected scientists of the 20th century, Max Planck, once said, "I regard consciousness as fundamental. I regard matter as derivative from consciousness." Which means if he's right, then we're not just stuck in reality. We are building it. But if we're not the ones generating this world, then someone or something might be doing it for us. And that changes everything. Because it means your thoughts aren't just yours. They're part of a conversation you don't remember starting. And maybe can't stop. So let's stop here for a second, because yes, some of this sounds crazy, like the kind of thing you'd hear at 2 a.m. from a guy with crystals in his glove box. But let's clear the smoke. Most of the experiments we've talked about, they weren't done in basements. They were run at Princeton, at Stanford, funded by the CIA, documented by the Army. The Gateway process wasn't a Reddit thread. It was a declassified intelligence briefing. Remote viewing wasn't a YouTube challenge. It was part of a real spy program used by real agencies for real missions. Even the wildest parts, the quantum stuff, the near-death cases, the out-of-body recordings, are backed by real people with credentials. Doctors, scientists, engineers, physicists. So no, this doesn't mean all of it is true, but it does mean it's not all fantasy either. We don't believe everything, but we believe in receipts, in patterns, in questions that never seem to die, no matter how many times they're ignored. And here's the part that always matters more than belief. Truth doesn't care about consensus. It cares about evidence. And when the evidence refuses to go away, you owe it to yourself to ask why. Because even if just one piece of this is real, it rewrites what we are. And what we're part of. If even one part of this story is true, if mind isn't just a byproduct of the brain, if we're not just meat machines with opinions, then we're not observers of reality. We are co-creators. And that means we're not here by accident. We're part of something active, something ongoing, maybe even something conscious. Maybe this isn't a planet with people on it. Maybe it's a dream dreaming itself. a loop of awareness folding back in on itself, to test, to learn, to evolve, to remember. And if that's the case, then everything you feel, everything you think, might echo farther than you'll ever know. So, what if this world isn't what you think it is? Maybe you weren't born into it. Maybe you're dreaming it from the outside. We're not here to tell you what to believe. We're here to show you what's been hidden and to ask the one question they always hope we never will. What if it's real? Because if even 99% of this turns out to be wrong, that last 1%, the part nobody can explain, that's where the truth lives. And if consciousness really is the key, then the biggest cover-up isn't aliens or tech or time. It's you. The part of you that remembers. The part of you that knows. In the part they've spent decades trying to program, manipulate, or erase. But it's still here. And now you are too. If this episode meant something to you, consider joining the Divergent Files community. We're building this together, one story at a time. You can support the channel over on Patreon. That's patreon.com/divergentfiles. Every bit helps us go deeper, stay independent, and keep telling the stories they won't. Until next time, stay curious, stay grounded, and remember, no matter what they tell you, the truth is still out there.
I didn't even realize I was wasting $415 a month until I downloaded Rocket Money. I thought I had my finances under control until the app laid out all my spending and categorized it for me. Takeout, shopping, and unused subscriptions were quietly draining my account. And as a result, my savings took a back seat. But Rocket Money doesn't just tell you what you're wasting money on. It takes action to save you money. First, the app looks at your income and monthly expenses and calculates how much you can safely spend each day to stay under budget. Rocket Money also finds and cancels unwanted subscriptions for you and even negotiates better rates on your bills so you have more money in your pocket. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. It's time to simplify your finances and take control of your money. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.